defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Matthew 2, verse 1. Epiphany, meaning to reveal, is arguably the oldest and most significant of all the Christmas traditions. It highlights the reality that due to our sin, we cannot come to God. Thus God, in Christ, revealed himself to us. The tradition of Epiphany, also known as Three Kings Day or Drei Koningendag in the Dutch, is celebrated January 6 as recognition of the first Gentiles to acknowledge Jesus as King. As such, it corresponds to Simeon's exultation, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles." While Epiphany provides an extraordinarily meaningful climax to the Christmas season, it is ultimately rooted in tradition. The text of Matthew 2:11 notes that at the time of visitation by the wise men, Mary and Joseph were no longer in the place of Jesus' birth, which contained a manger. Rather, they were now in a house. Moreover, the meagerness of Mary's purification offering suggests that 40 days after the birth of Christ, the day of the offering, Joseph and his family were still living in relative poverty. According to the Levitical law, Mary's offering, two doves or two young pigeons, was the prescribed purification offering for one who had become unclean through childbirth and could not afford to offer a lamb. Had the wise men already arrived at the time of Mary's purification offering, their generous gifts might well have made it possible for Mary to afford a lamb, as recommended in the Levitical law. In short, while Scripture does not indicate the exact date of the visit of the wise men, there's reason to believe that the visitors from the east did not arrive until sometime after the day of Mary's purification offering, which took place 40 days after the birth of Jesus. While it is important to separate truth from traditions, we must never cease to emulate the reverence and worship for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords manifested by the wise men. As such, when entities suggest that the wise men gave gifts to Christ, not to one another, we should immediately recognize that they have missed the point entirely. As Scripture makes abundantly clear, giving gifts to others, particularly to those in need, is tantamount to giving to Christ. On day 18 of your trek towards the heart of Christmas, may the Epiphany tradition encourage you to use your time and talent and treasure to make the King of Kings and Lord of Lords known to the nations.
We'll go right to the phone calls. Talk to Lisa listening on the web in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Hank. I'm just trying to examine my own faith and kind of be a smarter Christian. And I came across a documentary that's titled The God Who Wasn't There, directed by Brian Fleming. On the description of the film, it states that the Jesus of the Gospels bears a striking resemblance to other ancient heroes and figureheads of pagan savior cults, saying that there were other figureheads who were born of a virgin and other similarities. And my question then is, were there any other religious figures that came before Jesus that had these similarities, and what religions are they from, and now can we still trust in Jesus' divinity if they did in fact exist?
Well, they didn't, and these are ancient pagan mystery religions, and they are said to be forerunners to Christianity, but the people that are making these documentaries have the chronology all wrong to begin with. But beyond that, unlike these other pagan mystery religions, Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of Caesar Augustus. He was put to death by Pontius Pilate, who was a first century Roman governor. The testimony of his life and death and resurrection is validated by credible eyewitnesses and by credible extra-biblical evidence, and no other religion can legitimately claim that kind of support from history and evidence. In fact, if you look at these ancient pagan mystery religions, they're syncretistic. In other words, they grab bits and pieces of folklore and Greek pagan mythology, and they tie them together, and they come up with a story that they oftentimes claim to have similarities with Christianity, but they really don't. In the ancient mythology, for example, there are stories about a character named Horus. And Horus was the son of Isis and Osiris. And supposedly, Isis had a virgin birth in the same way that Mary had a virgin birth. But if you look at the pagan mythology, this is not what happened at all. So what happens is you have a big stretch that's being made. So people are saying, look, this is exactly the same as the virgin birth account of Jesus Christ. The alleged similarities, as well as the terminology that is used to communicate these alleged similarities, greatly exaggerated.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. I've written about this in a couple of different places in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, where I lay out the distinctions between Christianity, which is rooted in history and evidence and corroborated by eyewitness testimony. In other words, today what we find in the ground corresponds not to Greek mythology, but rather to what is communicated in the text of Scripture. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Corey in Houston, Texas. Hi, Corey.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
That's great. I want to thank you for taking my call and just letting you know that I appreciate your ministry, and I'm definitely praying for you.
Thank you.
My question was this. Can you give me some scripture references that refute the word of faith on guaranteed healing?
Yeah, well, look, what do they use as their pretext for guaranteed healing? I mean, it's always Isaiah 53, verse 5. That's brought up over and over again, and they repeat the mantra endlessly, by his stripes we are healed. But what we have to do is look at the context, and the context in Isaiah has spiritual, not physical, healing in mind. If you look at the passage, it says that Christ was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then Peter has a commentary on Isaiah, and he writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So the healing that is in mind, again, is spiritual, not physical. Now, I would argue that physical healing is provided for in the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross, but it is not guaranteed, as those who abuse this text say it is.
Okay. So when they refer to, I think, in Luke, Jesus makes a reference to being healed, and then they also, once you, like you said, the Isaiah 53 as well, they say that that had the It not only handled spiritual, but it also handled physical as well.
Well, but look, if it is true that if you follow to the next verse in Isaiah, Isaiah says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Well, physical healing is clear there in the context. And it's affirmed by the gospel writers, where it's given a very important qualification. For example, Matthew writes this: "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." And then Matthew says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." Well, what's the point? The point is the healing that is communicated in the Gospels was fulfilled during the ministry of Jesus Christ and does not guarantee healing today.
Okay. So if someone has, let's say, for instance, cancer, and they pray that the cancer be removed, and, you know, then, because this is the argument that I had with a friend of mine, if they pray for the cancer to be removed and it doesn't happen, my argument that is that ultimately God's plan is basically sovereign and it's according to his will. They said that the person didn't have enough faith to believe that they would be healed.
Well, you're right and they're wrong. And it is a very devastating thing to say to someone who has cancer that the reason that you have cancer is you don't have enough faith. If you had enough faith, you'd get rid of the cancer. Look, all of us in this life are going to suffer from diseases and sickness and ultimately death. The death rate is one per person. Every one of us is going to make it. God can supernaturally heal us, but look, we wait for something we do not yet have. We long for it earnestly, and that is a restored body in a new heaven and a new earth in which the writer of Revelation says there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away, and everything will become new. So in this life, we're going to struggle. All of us are going to die of our last disease. The death rate is universally 100%. Everyone's going to make it. And therefore, to suggest that in this life we can have perfect health and wealth is simply an illusion that comes out of the metaphysical cults and has now been packaged for Christian consumption.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. I definitely have something to go back with.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Charles, listening on KCVW in Kansas. Hi, Charles.
Hello. Right now I'm in Eloy, Arizona, because I'm an over-road truck driver.
Oh, good talking to you.
My question is, I was having a debate with my neighbor who lives in the Alameda south of me, and they're a Christian, but he said when he dies, he's wanting to be cremated. Well, my question is, I know it says the Bible, the Lord is all-powerful and all that, but my question is, when we rejoin with the Lord, when he comes back, our spirits can be joined back with the body. Well, my question is, then how can our spirit be joined back to the body if it's been cremated?
Well, if you died 10,000 years ago, your bones would be dust. So, but here's the issue. The issue is not that God cannot resurrect the cremated. He can.
I'm just kind of confused with how, you know.
Well, when we talk about our body rising from the dead, whether it's been devoured by a wild animal or assimilated by some kind of a large fish in the sea, it really doesn't matter, because when we talk about resurrection of this body, we're not talking about every atom of this body being resuscitated. It means that there's continuity between the body that now is and the body that will be for all eternity. So there's a one-to-one correspondence between the body you now have and the body that you'll have for all eternity. But all that means is that the blueprint for your present body is the blueprint, we might talk about it as the DNA, for the body that will be for all eternity. Think about it this way, Charles. Every single year, you lose multiplied millions and millions of microscopic bodily parts, or cells. And every 7 years, your whole anatomy, other than parts of the neurological system, is completely transformed. So 7 years from now, you're going to be a different person than you are today in that sense. But when we talk about you, there's not only a sameness of soul that establishes personal identity over time, but there's also a blueprint or a DNA that makes you you. And that is what will make you you for all eternity. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So in the meantime, do not touch that dial. We got some very interesting questions coming up in just a few moments.
The Christian Research Institute offers numerous ways to get the answers you seek to tough questions about Christianity, cults, the occult, essential Christian doctrine, and more.
This is the time that we need this organization to be not just proclaiming the truth, but doing the research and getting us the answer. Sometimes heretical writings come out and the average Christian reads them and says, you know, I know that isn't right, but I need some help in understanding why it isn't right. I need someone to do some research. Well, that's what the Christian Research Journal does. That's what Hank does and others on the show.
As Lee Strobel just said, the value of the Christian Research Institute is in the combined resources of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Primary Source Research, and the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe today online at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
Believe it or not, even Santa can be saved. Far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus, in reality, is an anglicized form of the Dutch name Sinterklaas, which in turn is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century. According to tradition, St. Nick not only lavished gifts on needy children, but also valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.
Thank you. Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Institute, our website, www.equip.org, and the Christian Research Journal give you a front row seat to the intellectual confrontations and counterfeit philosophies that oppose the church and the truth of God's Word today, and equip you with well-reasoned, respectful answers that the Bible commands us to give. We are encouraged to know that by God's grace, your participation with our ministry has made a difference.
My name is Daryl, and I have been part of a church affiliated with the Boston Church of Christ. I no longer belong to that church. I believe they have twisted scripture, and actually one of the broadcasts that convinced me of this was on the Bible Answer Man. I have since then recommitted myself to going to an evangelical church and have become a member of that church due to the fact of the false teachings from the Boston church. So I appreciate what Hank has helped me to get through. Thank you.
To be a co-laborer with us in the battle, please pray regularly for these ministries, and please consider giving a special gift to support these outreaches. To donate, call CRI today at 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
This year, so much has happened. In January, my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which exposes darkness to light, points us back to a Christianity centered in Christ, was released. As the year progressed, we published resources like Confronting the New Village Atheists, Truth Under Siege, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. In the third quarter of the year, we produced and aired our first broadcast on DirecTV, and we began leveraging social media tools like YouTube and Blogspot and Facebook, all for the glory of God and for the extension of His kingdom. Never in the history of our ministry together have we touched more lives in a single calendar year. At the end of the day, we do what we do because truth matters. Indeed, that is precisely why I'm so grateful for your partnership in ministry, and also why I need your help today as never before. Despite all that God has done through the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast this year, we're still facing a crucial year-end financial need of approximately $1 million. And that is why I'm asking you to help us meet this crucial goal by December 31st. So whatever the Lord directs you to send, please respond as soon as possible. And thank you for your loyal partnership and defense of the gospel throughout the years. May God richly bless you for all that your support means to innumerable people at home and around the globe. I want to spend just a couple of minutes now talking to Steve Camp. He's a Grammy Award-winning Christian musician who has led worship on our cruises in the past and is going to do so again this year on a cruise that we call The Word. And I know, Steve, the moment that I say The Word, your ears perk up, because that's not only the cause concept of the Christian Research Institute, but it's our combined passion. It is getting people into the Word and getting the Word of God into people.
Oh, absolutely. That's one reason I love to work with you and partner with you, is your emphasis on the Scriptures. You know, people have been celebrating, around this time of the year, just a few weeks ago, the Great Reformation. And one of the calls of the Reformation was sola scriptura. As John Wycliffe would have said, to prove all things by the Word of God. I know the heart of your ministry is to contend for the once for all delivered to the saints' faith. And in music and in local church work and service, it's something I've tried to also maintain by God's grace, to say that if the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, if it's the precious and magnificent promise that we have, and if all things are provided for us according to life and godliness, according to the knowledge of His Son through His Word, then we better proclaim that, sing that, talk about that, preach that. And again, great hymnology, coupled with great theology can lead us in great doxology before the Lord. So it's an honor to be partnering together with you, brother, on this cruise and to see the work the Lord has called you to. Thank you for allowing me that privilege.
Well, it's a privilege for us. And Steve, we so often say at the Christian Research Institute that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In other words, God has spoken, but the attendant question is this: if God has spoken, what has God said? And during this word cruise, what we're going to do is help people understand what the scriptures actually say, how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And part of that is what we do when you and I engage participants, our extended family, in theology talks on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. It's really a highlight every year when late at night we can get together either outside on the deck and see the beautiful night sky, or whether we're inside, if for some reason there's inclement weather that's there. It's a wonderful opportunity for the iron to strike the iron. And in a Q&A kind of format, where we're able to pick a theme and unfold it biblically, wrestle through some of the more complicated things scripturally, every year it seems like it's something that people come away from thinking, boy, I've always wanted to have the chance to discuss that. But maybe in their own fellowship or church setting, they haven't had the time to unpack those things the way they would want to. And so this is always a highlight of the cruise. And you know what? I come away benefiting and learning as well. When someone says something from a different angle, considers a different viewpoint, I think, boy, this is causing me to study further in my own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an exciting time where people can come, share what's on their hearts. Maybe they've been wrestling with a certain aspect of their own personal life, or they have an issue of truth, or they're seeing something in the common media of events of the day that have religious implications to them, and they're thinking, okay, is Scripture really clear on this? Does it really speak to these issues? And surprisingly enough for many, they can see that it is absolutely sufficient for all matters of life and godliness. It's an exciting time.
Over 30 hours of teaching, training, and equipping, and all of this takes place in the Western Caribbean. You are an expert at cruises, Steve. Talk to people about the Western Caribbean.
Well, it's a beautiful part of the world, Belize and Cozumel and different islands that we'll be going to. Beautiful time of the year in the spring and May, a great time of the year considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives, bring them on a great vacation, let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine. You know, the beaches are beautiful, the water is absolutely clear, and you get to come for 7 days and seven nights to these great ports. And I think that's the thing that's so exciting, Hank, about cruising. The people in the Western Caribbean are so warm and friendly, and they really make the trip extra special by their hospitality as well. So a great vacation, all encompassed in a Bible-intensive cruise where you get fed spiritually, you get to relax, enjoy the fellowship of friends and family, and then see these tremendous ports in this part of the world and enjoy some of the most beautiful weather you're going to experience in any springtime season, along with some snorkeling and fishing and skiing, or just laying on the beach enjoying each other's company with the great outdoor barbecues and things that happen. It's really quite a time, and for such a low price, I know during economic times like we're in, people are trying to make those dollars stretch. Well, here's an opportunity to maximize those dollars. It's sensitive to anyone's budget and something that people can really take home and enjoy spiritually as well.
I don't want that to pass over too quickly, but in the words of Mark Twain, this is the best of times and the worst of times. The worst of times, and that many people are struggling economically, it is the best of times because there are some extraordinary bargains. A couple of years ago, we could not have been talking about pricing like this to go, as you mentioned, on a seven-day Western Caribbean cruise.
Yeah, it would have been unfathomable to think that you could go for this kind of price. So here to have 7 nights, 7 days out at sea, visiting several ports in the Western Caribbean, And if people can think about this as a floating Bible conference that also enjoys seeing these great destinations. You know, today, the average price I read the other day for just a Bible conference is $200 to $300 per person to come. And here, on top of that, you get five-star meal service, beautiful accommodations. You get to see the open seas. If you've never been on a cruise before, it is spectacular. And then again, visiting these different ports, plus you get the Bible conference as well. So it really is a wonderful stewardship issue of dollar for dollar. This is something that people can really enjoy, and you'll take home memories that will last a lifetime, plus the work spiritually that's done. I think, Hank, every year we've had people from the crew come out for a special devotions, as you know, on one of those nights, and we've had the chance to share the gospel in a musical and in a teaching format, because several of the crew come and hear you speak and explain of the faith. And we've even had some, by God's grace, respond in confessing Christ as Lord. And so, you know, it's ministry, it's being fed spiritually, it's great fun and fellowship. And if you're looking for a vacation time where all of these elements come together in the beautiful part of the Western Caribbean, boy, what a great gift to give family and loved ones this year. It's just a tremendous package.
Our family with your family, an extraordinary time. Let me just mention one other thing, Steve. Mother's Day is Monday, May 9th. The cruise is May 9th through the 16th. And this year, my mom's going to be on the cruise as well. Not only my entire family, but my mom is going to come as well. And maybe a reminder that this is a great Mother's Day gift.
Oh, tremendous. Yeah, I wish my mom could come. She's 91, and so she'd have trouble traveling. But in the past, she has always enjoyed the warmer climates, especially during the springtime, where she can just get away and enjoy this kind of relaxing time. A tremendous Mother's Day gift. And so this is something you'll want to take advantage of. Now, you can give it as a Mother's Day gift, but make it a Christmas gift this year for your mom. And again, a wonderful opportunity for the whole family to come and pay homage to the moms, but also husbands, a great chance to celebrate your wife here. If you have a faithful wife that's watching the kids, that's the heart of the home, man, give her just a wonderful gift. Consider it a second honeymoon as you come aboard this cruise, and it will be just a delight.
We're talking to Steve Camp. He's the Grammy Award-winning Christian musician that one of the few people that actually participates with me in Bible Answer Man sessions. We call them theology talks, but we have a blast together. All of this happening May 9th through the 16th. It's called The Word. It's a Western Caribbean cruise. It won't be complete without you. Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime. Steve, thank you.
Hank, thank you, brother. Looking forward to being with you.
God bless you, my friend. And again, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also call me at 888-7000-CRI for more information. Or as always, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and The Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. Early bird pricing begins at only $449 per person plus port taxes and government fees and ends December 30th, 2009. This incredibly low price includes accommodations, meals, and all of our sessions during the week. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. Hank will return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
As we come to the close of 2009, we're grateful of your partnership and ministry. During 2009, the Christian Research Institute has experienced the proverbial best of times and worst of times. The best of times in that in over two decades of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the ministry of CRI, we have seldom seen more abundant, abiding fruit. But this is also why we need your help as never before. Despite all that God has done through the Christian Research Institute this year, we're still facing a crucial year-end financial need. We're still $935,000 from meeting our year-end budget. So we're asking you for your financial help. We usually receive about 20% of our income during December, so every day is absolutely critical. We'd rather face this December 31st deadline with calm rather than with concern. So why don't you get in touch with the Christian Research Institute today to put your donation to work right away? You can call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or donate through our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And thank you for your help as we end this year strong. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right back to our phone callers. Talk to Leon in San Mateo, California. Hi, Leon.
Hi. Hank, I enjoy listening to your program. I have for several years. In fact, shortly after I became a new Christian in the 70s, I had the privilege of taking a class on the Kingdom of the Cults from Walter Martin at a school in Orange County.
Oh, wow.
My question is this. This has been bugging me for years. I on occasions have off and on for the last 30 years listened to family radio, and what I like about it mostly is the hymns that they play, the music, and the Bible reading. I get really blessed by it. But as soon as Harold Camping comes on, I have to turn it off because my spirit just gets totally turned off by it. And my question is, the ministry seems to really be growing. They have radio stations all over the world, shortwave. But how can a ministry like that flourish if one person in that ministry just seems to be not telling the truth of the Bible?
Well, I mean, that happens all the time, doesn't it? There are Mormons
that
flourish.
Well, I guess maybe it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't know.
Sure. And this is what you clearly have in this case. You have false teaching. But look, you never determine whether something is legitimate by the size of the organization or how much money it has. If that were the case, we'd all turn into Mormons. Yeah, the fact of the matter is that you have to test what someone is saying in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. Now, Harold Camping has made all kinds of false promises, including, he said, when September 6, 1994 arrives, no one else can be saved. The end has come. He has told people that God has done away with the church. There should be no more local congregations, no more elders, no more deacons, no more ordinances such as the baptism or Lord's Supper. He says that the Holy Spirit has left the church as an empty shell with no power to proclaim the gospel. He says to flee the churches and form fellowships around his teachings. I mean, you ultimately get a composite picture of a false teacher who's making not only false prophecies, but making false proclamations. And that is why we did an entire article, which was a story in the Christian Research Journal, exposing the heresies and the false hermeneutical pattern and practice of Harold Camping.
Well, I guess, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. When I listen to his teachings, I have my own spirit witnesses to the fact, I guess, that they use the good music, the Bible reading, to literally draw people in so that they can hear this false teaching and be turned away from the truth. I assume that's probably what it's all about.
Well, I can't judge his motives. I don't want to go there. That's not something that I'm capable of doing. All I can do is test what he says in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. And it's very clear that he compromises, confuses, and outright contradicts essential Christian doctrine.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. And again, God bless you and continue with your strong ministry.
Thank you very much. Back to the phone lines. Jonathan in Charlotte's Hall, Maryland. Hi, Jonathan.
Hank, I have a question. I heard you explain to somebody one time about the six-day creation period, and you were saying how it's not actually six 24-hour days. The reason I'm asking is I just read a book called The Evolution of a Creationist by Joe Martin, and he's the basis of the book is all about six 24-hour days. He's very gung-ho about that. I was wondering what you thought about that. What do you think about the whole six-day creation thing?
Sure. I think Christians are divided on that. And by the way, the comment you attribute to me probably wouldn't be well attributed to me, because my point in talking about the days of creation is to say that the days of creation are a way in which we can remember God's creative prowess. The fact that God separated light from dark, that God created the man and the animals, that God separated the dry land. So we have, within the days of creation, a way of remembering what God did on each one of the days of creation. On day six, he created man and the animals. We have a way of remembering that. It's corresponding to the days of the week. Now, certainly, it's either a 24-hour period of time or it's a long period of time, but Christians are divided on that, and I don't think that the text is actually intended to give us a time frame any more than the genealogies in Genesis are meant to give us a historical chronology. I don't think the genealogies in Genesis are complete, but they're given to us in such a way that we can remember the genealogies and Unfortunately, many people do that, but with the 10 fingers of their hands. So Moses is speaking in oral culture and giving information to people in such a way that they can remember that information and remember God's creative prowess as well as the mountain peaks in terms of biblical chronology.
Interesting. Okay. Do you have time for one quick other question?
Sure.
No, different subject?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, previous caller, you were talking about hell a little bit. And that had reminded me of a conversation I had with my brother-in-law about hell. Your views on hell, from what I understand, you don't actually believe that there's actual fire and torment in hell. It's more of a place of separation from God and for eternity, of course. But no fire or anything like that.
That is correct. What we're talking about is metaphors used in Scripture. For example, blackest darkness forever and ever is a metaphor that talks about the horror of being separated from the glory and goodness of God, just as fire is a way of communicating the horrific nature of separation for all eternity.
All right. I really appreciate your time, Hank.
You got it. And I think a lot of people want to take these metaphors and they want to make the metaphors walk on all four, but then you miss the meaning of the text. I love what R.C. Sproul has said. He says that a breath of relief is usually heard when a person declares that hell is a symbol for separation from God. And then Sproul explains that to be separated from God for all eternity is no great threat if you're impenitent as an individual. The ungodly want nothing more than to be separated from God. Their problem in hell will not be separation from God. It will be the presence of God that will torment them. In hell, God will be present in the fullness of divine wrath. He will be there to exercise his just punishment of the damned. They will know him as an all-consuming fire. And then he goes on to say that the most horrifying aspect of hell is its permanency. In other words, the most excruciating pain can be endured if we know that the pain is eventually going to cease. But in hell, no such hope exists. And that's why we can truly fear hell. And Jesus Christ was explicit in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Olivet Discourse, and in many other places throughout the Scripture. He was pointing out just how horrifying it would be to be separated from God for all eternity. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, more than half a dozen times, he warned his followers about the dangers of hell, and he used hyperbolic language to drive home the urgency of the message. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, Jesus wasn't telling you to maim yourself. He was explaining, again, using hyperbole, just how horrifying hell would be. And he went on to say, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on his right, the goats on his left, and then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And I've mentioned this a number of times, but look at Luke chapter 16. There you have a rich man that dies and ends up in torment. And he wants to go back and warn his five brothers that they do not come to a place like this. But the enigmatic response is this: if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Too late, this rich man paid attention to the beggar at his gate. Too late, he perceived the unbridgeable chasm between heaven and hell. Too late, he purposed to preach to his brothers. Too late, he heeded the testimony, the law and the prophets. Too late. Too late. Too late. Ultimately, the reason for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute is to communicate the gospel so that men and women, boys and girls might realize that ultimately there are only two kinds of people in the world: those who live for all eternity in the presence and glory of God, and those separated from that reality. That is the stark truth, not communicated by an electronic voice on the radio, but communicated by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who one day was willing to lie prostrate in the pool of his own blood before his creation, so that we might be reconciled to God for time and for eternity. It is the message of the gospel, a message that we will continue proclaiming. I wrote about both heaven and hell in detail in a book called Resurrection, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, we want to thank everybody for supporting this ministry prayerfully and financially this year, and pray that together we might have a great year in which to proclaim the gospel and, by God's glory, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lead people to the presence of the Master, not only for time, but for eternity. So long for now.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Set sail for a week at sea with Hank Hanegraaff and the Word, May 9th through May 16th, 2010. Departing Mother's Day weekend, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from the riches of God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom, and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine. Make it a Christmas gift this year.
Early bird pricing begins at only $449 plus taxes and fees per person. This incredibly low price includes accommodations and meals. To participate, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Early bird pricing ends December 30th.